You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's a ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
We want to thank Joe Hagman and Katie for being on with me tonight. We're having some fun today talking about stuff off the air we probably shouldn't talk about on the air, but we probably will. But let me tell you about Steve Quayle again. Steve Quayle owns a really good company. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. And Renaissance Precious Metals is your trusted source for buying gold, silver, platinum, and palladium bullion and coins. World-famous author and radio talk show host Steve Quayle has been a leading voice for decades promoting the acquisition of gold and precious metals. Those who listen have benefited greatly. I think gold has had a 1,000% return in the last 10 or 12 years. Many economists, not 1,000%, I apologize, it's been over 100% return. Many economists and the futurists are predicting the global collapse of the dollar, which would in turn send gold, silver, and other precious metals soaring in value. Renaissance Precious Metals are critical to maintaining your wealth portfolio and is your ultimate protection against the coming collapse of the dollar. Remember, if you can't touch it, you don't own it. Call Steve. Tell him Ted told you to call from Dave Hodges' show. 406-586-4842. Again, that phone number is 406-586-4842. Now, Katie, you were saying something about South Carolina a few minutes ago while we were on break. Tell me what's going on in South Carolina.
Yeah, I was just reading something. It was from Shoebot.com, the Waleed Shoebots website. It's shoebat.com. And it seems to be endemic lately, but it's the South Carolina police and FBI care more about the safety of Muslims in a town called Holy Islamville than they care about the Islamic terror threat to Christians in the area. And I just threw that out there to you two because I thought this is what we're going to start seeing. There's a real sway towards sympathizing with the Islamic communities. And yet, we have, we were talking about the Christian bakeries that were, I was reading an article where these, the gay groups, the homosexual groups were actually targeting, specifically targeting Christian bakeries. So they were looking for a fight. They were picking a fight. And there's really not a whole lot of sympathy for the Christian groups. Christian bakeries, Christian churches, the Christians protesting these abortion bills, this judge that just stifled free speech by closing this group down from publishing the rest of their videos about selling aborted baby parts. Yeah.
That's right.
So there's a lot of sympathy being generated for what a brilliant, I hate to say it, but it's been a brilliant rollout since 9/11. A victim out of the Muslims.
Well, remember, the NSA can wiretap us or do whatever they want to. They can listen to every telephone call we have, every email we send out, every text message we have. They can do it through their data gathering, their metadata. They can do anything they want to do. It doesn't make any difference. They can listen to our conversations. They can do anything they want to do. But you know, when we wiretap, in other words, when the guy went in there and wiretapped, and he basically was recording that person from Planned Parenthood without their knowledge, that's still supposed to be illegal. They're not supposed to be able to do that. I mean, you know, nobody wants somebody coming in their house with a camera and basically saying, hey, I'm going to record everything you say, and I'm not going to tell you I'm going to record it, because I'm quite certain that had the Planned Parenthood people had known what was going on. Now, I'm not defending Planned Parenthood here, okay? I can't stand that organization. But I'm saying, but that's probably the premise that the judge used to go ahead and seal those records. What those guys should have done when they released the first video, they should have released all the videos before there was a chance to get a court order on them. That's what they should have done. They should have posted them all to YouTube. They should have posted them all to YouTube the same day, said, hey, we got a dozen of these videos, you guys watch all of them. And then the blowback to Planned Parenthood would have been much, much worse, but it's been devastating to them now. I think Rand Paul has a bill they're voting to defund Planned Parenthood if he can get it through the committees next week. And so hopefully that can get done. So,
well, the president said he would veto any bill that came through to do just that.
No, of course he will. Of course he will. Why would he do that?
From what I understand, and I could be wrong, but from what I understand, if I understand the law that was used and cited properly, it was cited incorrectly, and there was no actual. I know what you're saying, because up here in New York, it's the same way. I'm in Pennsylvania, but if you go in New York, if you tape somebody in their voice without them knowing it, it is considered wiretapping, illegal wiretapping. So
and
you have to be very careful.
It's a state by state. Each state has its own. So
yeah.
It's not a blanket ruling. So if this
right.
group that did the videotaping, I would assume that they did not stick with just one state, one Planned Parenthood in one state.
Right, and that's why I think, you would have seen charges brought against these people before. You'd have seen charges ever brought against Planned Parenthood, but the people who were doing this for about wiretap violation, if that were the law.
Joe, what do you think about what Katie's saying about the Muslims and, what's going on, how they're getting special rights now?
Well, this is a very interesting read-up, and my dad is he's the expert in this area, because one of the videos quoted on that website, on that story, is Islamberg in Hancock, New York. And I've been there with my dad. My dad's done extensive research on this, and we were in a similar... this wasn't a town. In Buffalo, they have a training camp there, but this is an area where, in this website, they're citing that is a whole town that is a training camp area. And these things are real, and the training does go on. We saw school buses full of bullet holes, people doing, guerrilla warfare-type drills, whether it was climbing a wall with a rope or, doing tuck and rolls with an AK-47. And this is stuff we have on tape. So, this is real.
And that law enforcement knows not to go into these camps. They are protected. They're unofficially protected areas. Yet, you'll have raids going into militia camps, patriot camps, things like that. There's a lot of disparity going on here. The Muslims are a protected group.
Joe, how much of that is being paid for by our government to train these groups like ISIS and ISIL and all the stuff they've done over there?
That's a great question. I wish I knew how much. I mean, it's got to be a lot. We keep hearing that. But how is ISIS able to continue to grow? They keep stumbling upon weapons and guns and U.S. vehicles, the Humvees that are used in war fighting.
Abrams tanks, that's right.
Yeah. That we keep hearing about the arming of moderate Syrian rebels to combat these ISIS fighters, but in most cases, these fighters are non-existent. And it comes out that we are directly giving weapons, these same weapons and funding, support and training to ISIS fighters directly. Call it a misspeak if you want, but Obama said it himself at a press conference a few weeks back. He came right out and said we were funding ISIS. Now, I believe it was a mistake. They would never say that outright, even if they were doing it, but weirder things have happened.
Well, and on a local scale, it says Garland, talk about the government funding these groups. Garland Shooter bought pistol through ATF's controversial gun running sting to track drug cartels. Remember that several years ago? Well, now we have proof.
Yeah.
Well, let me say something too. I'm going to say something. This is important that we all do this, because this is how I feel about this. I have multiple Muslim people that I know that are the nicest people on the planet. I mean, they're some of the nicest God-fearing people I've ever met. They're not terrorists. They're really good people. And so I think we all need to realize that not all Muslims are terrorists, not all Muslims are jihadists, not all Muslims want death to the infidel, not all Muslims, want problems in the United States because they moved here to get rid of the problems they had where they were. So be careful. I think we all need to be careful to realize that, Albert Pike wrote in that book, Morals and Dogma, way back in the 1800s, that one of the third things that was going to be done Supposedly, this was a quote from him. Now, I think Tom Horn said that he wasn't sure if it was attributed to him. But the reality is that the Third World War will be between the Muslims and the Christians and the Jews, and they're planning on it to be this, mm-hmm. which doesn't surprise me if that's what they decide they're going to do. They're going to foment this war. So what we have to be careful with as Christians and Americans, if you're not a Christian and you're listening, is not to get into a situation where we start thinking all Muslims are bad. That's like, you know, saying all Jews are bad, or all Christians are bad, or all Hindus are bad, or all Buddhists are bad. They're not. There's some really good people in all these different types of religions, and there's always a militant group that's out there with them. But when you know that our group and our CIA and the NSA is training and funding these Muslim militants in camps, a lot of them in the United States, and then sending them back overseas to create their mischief, or in this country to create the mischief they want to do here, you know, we have to begin to realize that our government and the Sabbatean Frankist Kabbalist group of Luciferians that run our government are the ones that are orchestrating this and trying to bring us into World War III. I know Gerald Celente said when all else fails and the money starts to run out and the money starts to collapse, the only thing they can do is bring us to war again. And that's exactly what I believe they're planning on doing. And hopefully we as a people, we as a nation, and we as a government, and we as an army, and the military knows this, and they don't start getting involved in doing all of this stuff. Because if they start having skirmishes inside of the United States with these extremist camps, and they start pulling martial law in the United States, you know, anything that's left of our Constitution, the last vestige of it will be gone, and we'll be living under martial law for as long as we want to stay in the United States. Now they're even saying that if a person speaks out against the United States, they can have, now they're trying to get the rights to take their passports away and, you know, mm-hmm. trap them in the United States so they can't leave. I mean, this whole thing's nuts. And what was that general last week who was saying, Joe, about how they wanted to have FEMA camps set up or detainment facilities like they had the Japanese and the Germans during World War II in the United States for political dissidents who were basically going to cause a problem? They were going to do a pre-crime intervention and arrest them and take them away and put them in a prison. I mean, I can't even believe this is America and that general said something like that.
Yeah, Wesley Clark.
That's right.
Was that pertaining to climate change, or was that just a broad statement?
He was talking primarily about
political
Muslims
dissidents.
On that. Yeah, he was talking primarily about the Muslims. That was a veiled thing about the Muslims and what happened up there in Chattanooga. And so the thing about it is that we need to understand, though, you know, it's like
right.
in Germany. My mom said first they came for the Jews, and they came for the Christians, and they came for the Catholics, and the Gypsies, and the
exactly.
infirm. And pretty soon anybody who says anything's taken away.
But
yeah,
what's interesting
can't.
About what he said was, He said to he was referring to the camps, the internment camps during the Japanese War. So he was trying to get the public, I felt it, he was trying to get the public to side with him and say, yeah, we really need to be able to separate these people out, the ones who are against the country. The problem is when they redefine who is an enemy, they got the sway of the people wanting to isolate these terrorists, but then when they redefine terrorists, that's where the problem lies. Does that make sense?
That's exactly right, because I remember when George Bush passed the Patriot Act, and then, you know, we had the National Defense Authorization Act and all these other things that I don't think they renewed that one, but it doesn't matter if the spying apparatus is already in place. But the reality is, I said to my friends, I said, you know, George Bush may not do anything with all of this. I said, but if another person comes in and decides wants to be a tyrant, they can start becoming, we can become less and less of a republic and more of a dictatorship because of the abilities and the power we've given to this executive branch. The one thing that
yep.
we have done, though, because our Constitution was formulated and written so well by the founders of our country, it's been a lot more resilient, kind of like our DNA has to attack. As far as people destroying the United States from within through the Constitution, has been because the Constitution's been there and has stood against everything. And this, I want to go back to the Romans thing real quick with a lot of Christians. This is really important. So they use Romans 13 to come in and they say that, you know, we should be obeying Caesar, right? Obeying the king. Well, Obama's not our king. If we're going to say anything's a king, the only thing that we have over all of us would be the Constitution of the United States. And we need to obey the Constitution because it was set there in front of us when our country was first founded, you know, several hundred years ago. And that's what they're doing. They're slowly dismantling the rights that we have in the Bill of Rights. And I guess it's not even slowly anymore, is it, Joe? They're doing it pretty fast.
Well, now it's a very rapid, you know, bam, 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 bam. They're coming at us. Whether, you know, the majority of the news we see now is 90% distraction oriented, meaning the real news is, if published at all, and that, you know, remaining 5 or 10%. I'm not sure what's going on, you know.
Well,
we know that
remember
they know
this.
The playbook is the King James
Bible. Remember, remember what the news does. See, the Rothschild banking cartel, the Rothschild, Sabatain, Frankist, Cabalist, Luciferian banking cartel that runs everything, they own like 95% of the media. And what's interesting about this is they can tell you what the story is going to be because they make up the story. If they want to kill a story, they kill it. That's what they've been able to do now. That's the propaganda. That's why it's been so effective in the United States. For instance, the Planned Parenthood comes out, and they're selling body parts of children. They're actually butchering children and selling parts. I mean, like you'd go, you kill a cow or a hog, and you take it to the butcher, and the butcher cuts it up for you and gives you quarter sections, et cetera, whatever you want. Well, they were doing that with these children. They're actually butchering these children and selling the body parts as if it's a meat market, okay? That's what it all boils down to. The question I always ask myself is, the person who's actually cutting up these children, how do they sleep at night without unbelievable nightmares? Like, I can't even imagine doing that from a warm fetus or a warm baby that's 8 or 9 months, this trimester, the third trimester baby. They kill it through partial birth abortion. They bring out this intact fetus, this intact baby that was living a few minutes earlier. Now they're going to slice it up and butcher it and sell the body parts like it's some kind of animal, okay? But what they did, if you remember, here's what the media did. All of a sudden, this guy goes over to Kenya and he shoots a lion, right? And all hell breaks loose all over the media about this dentist who's now in hiding because now they're trying to extradite him back over to Tanzania or Zimbabwe or wherever it was. And they're saying he should have never shot the lion, he should have never shot the lion. And everybody now is ignoring all of these babies that have been sold as butchered body parts like in a meat market. They're ignoring all of that, and this lion, now they've got another lion that was shot last month. Now that's making the news from another guy who was another doctor. So they're obfuscating the news, exactly what you said, Joe, and they're pointing us in a different direction.
Well, how screwed up is it that the general public, you know, would latch on? And I've noticed this, especially amongst family and friends, and the scary part is even a lot of people who are self-proclaimed Christians who will care about the death of an animal more than a human being. Whether it's this example that's been in the news, and this is a great example, you know, the lion versus the Planned Parenthood, not only baby killing, baby selling machine, and done so under, you know, eugenics trying to rid a race of people, provenly. I mean, it's just so scary to think that the vast majority of the population would rather be outraged. I think it's a moral inconvenience for them to be honest about abortion.
Well, it's back to normalcy bias. The other day I was doing a show with Man Cow, and I was on for like an hour and a half, and it's kind of a zoo show format. So it's, you know, you're on for a minute, you're off for 20, you're on for 3 minutes, you're off for 20, you're on for 10 seconds, you're off for 20. And, you know, we're talking about fluoride because he did this big thing, you know, with fluoride in Chicago because he's one of the top stations there now on the loop. And we were doing this whole show, and I couldn't believe how many people were calling in at first and agreeing with everything we were saying, and then suddenly the naysayers came in. I guess the trolls came in. They started saying, oh, absolutely not. They would never do this. Fluoride is not bad. This is not this. We don't believe this. We don't believe that, blah, blah, blah. And I started thinking, how can they be that incredibly, incredibly uneducated? Because I don't believe they're stupid, but I believe they're uneducated. I mean, because that's the thing that Common Core has done so well, and of course the whole dumbing down of the whole entire system, you know, teaching people the whole reading skills instead of the reading with phonics that we were taught back in the 60s. And they say they've dumbed the entire population down of America now that most people, when you interview them on the street, don't even know who the first president was or who the president was with the Civil War, on what continent the Civil War in the United States was fought. They can't even answer these simple questions. And see, we've got a situation now, we've got an electorate that is so dumbed down and so watered down as far as their intellect, and when you try to talk to them about real stuff, they don't want to talk to you about it, Joe, because they want to go watch their movie. They want to go watch their TV set. They want to go play their video game. They want to go drink another diet soda, which puts them into a euphoric state because it releases, you know, it's a dopamine trigger. They want to do all of this crazy stuff, and they don't realize that they're killing themselves, and they don't care. And when you try to tell them, they're so caught up in normalcy bias that everything's normal for them, because that's how their life has always gone. So they don't want to hear anything that you're saying because they don't want to know the truth, because the truth will set them free. They don't want to be set free. They like where they are. It's awful. It really is awful.
It's, you know, the state of being complacent. It is lukewarmness. It is, you know, because it either boils down to people caring about being told the truth and them coming around to it, or them turning their back on it. I mean, it is interesting that people have been completely brainwashed to a large degree. And I don't know if this, you know, in the Bible it does say that the Lord will put things in people's hearts to fulfill His will the way He wants it. So, you know, where is this mental block coming from that people, when given the truth of a matter or real truths on a subject, call it, not only turn away from it, but then attack the truth? And these are people that, learning the truth, they would benefit from it, yet they'll attack it wherever they see it.
Well, it is propaganda, though, and it's how they format it. I mean, I was watching this whole Cecil the Lion thing roll out, and it was all over the place, splashy headlines, picture after picture of this dentist with a dead leopard and a dead rhino and just big color photographs. And it's, I call it shiny object syndrome. And it takes the public from one thing away from the thing that they should be paying attention to. It's all marketing. Everything that we experience is propaganda marketing. So that's where the sway of the public is year after year after year. If they had one story about an aborted child with the same splash, the same headlines, the same gruesome photographs, would we live in a different world?
But remember, Katie, the Rothschild banking cartel owns the media, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts or trying to deny that. I mean, the bankers pretty much own everything. And they say what's news and what's not news. The Rothschilds are all about, you know, global population depopulation. And so they're not going to put this up. They had to do something. And so what they do, I watched some of the same stories on Cecil the Lion. Oh, my gosh, it was masterful. It was one of the best little things I've ever seen, little short stories on the news. And you're watching it, and you say, oh, my God, I feel so sorry for this lion. They baited him out of the national park. They killed him. He suffered for 40 hours. He limped around bleeding. They brought this whole story out, and then they made this dentist like some kind of nightmare, right? And the reality is this. What about the guy who's the butcher of the young, fresh babies that are being born and killed through partial birth abortion, who's slicing up these little humans and selling them off like they're pieces of meat? No one else shows that. They had to do something really big because that whole story with the Planned Parenthood was gaining too much traction. It was getting too much push, and they did the beta test on it. They saw what was going on. They were watching social media. They were watching Twitter. They were watching emails. They were watching everything. And they were starting to, then they said, we got to stop this. We got to stop this now. We need a story run tomorrow. What do we have? Oh, we got this Cecil the Lion thing. This happened several months ago, but we've been holding the story. It's kind of like, let's look at Kim Kardashian's butt. Let's see who Kim Kardashian is getting married to. Let's see who's seeing Kim Kardashian. That's it. That's exactly what it is. We have to, this bread and circuses, we have to distract the masses from what's going on with the Planned Parenthood butcher shop selling barred body parts. We've got to get away from that. We got to get the focus off of that because that's going to get way too much traction. So we'll do that. It's like a Monica Lewinsky missile. Remember the Monica missiles? Every time there was a problem with Bill Clinton's presidency, when he got caught lying or doing something else, they'd shoot another missile in Afghanistan or someplace else over in the Middle East, and everything would break. The whole story would break again. They go back to the missile, and Monica would be second page news. Because the news only lasts for a week or 4 days or 5 days, unless they want it to continue, unless they want it to go on. And that's what they do. Look at the Bill Cosby story. You know, Bill Cosby apparently had lost his usefulness to the New World Order. They decided to go ahead and make an example out of him. This story with Bill Cosby simply won't go away. And again, it's more obfuscation. Don't get me wrong. Bill Cosby is not a nice person. I met with him. I saw what he did to Lori. He cussed this woman out who was pregnant so bad. He told her to get out of the limo she was in with him. That she didn't want her unborn infant to hear the filthy language he was calling her, all the names he was calling her. That's what Bill Cosby did. First-hand information, I was there with him. Right after that happened, I know exactly what happened. So he's not a good person. I've told you guys that before on the Hagman Show. We did a whole big expose on how I knew Bill Cosby. He's not a good guy. So I believe what I read about him. The point is, for some reason, he's not their golden boy anymore. He's lost his usefulness. He's gotten old. So now it's easy to use him again as obfuscation, as a scapegoat to change the story, to change the narrative. That's what John Rappaport calls it. I remember I interviewed him a couple times on the Power Hour. And he says it's the narrative. The mainstream media has a narrative. The narrative has to be continually used, replaced over and over and over again, and it's given to you over and over again. It's like the Third Reich, the Third Reich, the Third Reich with all the banners and all the propaganda. That's what they do. It's all done by Edward Bernays back in the 1800s, the father of propaganda. He was the one who used Woodrow Wilson's presidency and the propaganda they did with the Lusitania to bring World War One to the United States and getting our troops back over for World War One. And then Hitler was a big, Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister, was a huge fan of Edward Bernays and also what he did with Woodrow Wilson. So he copied all of that, and that's how Hitler was able to brainwash the minds of the Germans. That's how he did it. It's through that massive, massive marketing. I still have people who email me right now, Joe, when I do your show and I say something about Nazi Germany. You're wrong about the Nazis. They were really good people. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go again. Here's the thing. There were good Nazis. There's no doubt about that. Just like there's good Christians, good Hindus, good Jews, good everything else. Okay? But the ones that I'm talking about are the Nazis that were in the killing camps or shooting people or shooting prisoners and doing all the crazy things that those other guys did and the higher-ups told them to do. Those aren't good people. They're horrible people. And see, that's the problem. You see, when a few people do something bad, then the entire group of people, like in other words, that would be Germany now, got a bad rap for what happened with what the Nazis did, and Germany still has to deal with the constant blowback. Every night you turn on the Nazi channel or the History Channel on TV, and they're always talking down, the Germans. Well, the Germans that are alive right now, they weren't even alive. That'd be like us watching a show right now in the southern states every single night on what the southern people did as far as the Confederacy and how they rebelled against Lincoln, which is not even true, by the way. They just wanted to have states' rights. And what is the crazy thing about it is if we had to watch that nonsense every single night, the generation of the Germans that were involved in that, they're pretty much all dead now, or they're in their 80s or 90s. And the sad part about it is we've got to walk away from that and realize that we're being manipulated by the media and by the propaganda that's still being fed to us right now, Joe, Katie.
That is so very, very true. And I was just thinking, I would love Joe's opinion on this. I was just reading something from Investment Watch blog, and it said, "The Willful Ignorance of Fascist Tyranny, Germany 1937, America 2015. And how the people are denying that we're on the same path. Jill, in terms of everything that's happening, what do you think will wake the people up? What do you think is going to be the trigger? What's your idea of how can people not see what's coming? I understand that we have not taught history, so you have younger generations who aren't making the connection. But I'm talking people in their 30s, your generation, 30s, 40s, 50s, who were educated in the Weimar Republic and how it came to be. What do you think about all this, Joe? What do we do?
Well, you made some great points, Ted and Katie. And I want to start by saying, you know, about the marketing aspect, the propaganda aspect, I went to school and I have a degree, a college degree in marketing. And you know, you learn in marketing, the first things you learn in marketing, like the first, your first 2 years is psychology. And that's done for a reason because, you know, this is a psychological operation and it is, you know, mental manipulation, psychological manipulation being done through there, whereas Ted, like you've explained. As far as what will it take to wake people up, what will it take to wake a younger generation of people up, and if people are like I was, it's sadly going to take some type of experience, personal experience, that is going to be or seem negative or will be negative at the time it happens, whether it's losing your power for 2 weeks, whether it's get thrown in jail, whether it's a personal experience. Usually people don't suffer growth or grow until they suffer pain.
Yes.
And at least in my experience, that's the way it usually is. So it won't be till somebody, you know, kicks their boot through a door or, you know, they're in need of food or water for a sustained period of time. Then people will start to learn and see. And if that not then, you know, who knows when. But hopefully, because if it does come to that, we're in a lot of trouble, a lot more trouble than we want to be.
You know, Goebbels, all the way to the end of the war, I mean, all the way to the end, Katie, Joe, my mom told me this. He was on radio all the time with the radios that still worked with the cities that still had electricity. And he was telling everybody how they had these secret weapons, which they did have, by the way. If they'd had a delivery system, it would probably be a whole different world right now. But what happened is, you know, the German people had been so brainwashed to believing that the Third Reich was going to be there for 1,000 years and that Hitler was the savior because what he had done at turning the economy around when you had a 40-50% unemployment in some areas, that basically there was no way that Germany could be defeated. And I mean, I'm talking to the troops, the communist troops are in Berlin. and Hitler's committing suicide, supposedly, which I don't believe he did that. I don't think anybody's going to believe that if they start reading stuff that I've read, especially if you start reading the FBI files now. But the thing about it is that we have to understand something. You know, if you so brainwash a population to believe the lie, it's very difficult at that point to get them to believe the truth, Joe, Katie.
Absolutely, and I don't know, your sound cut out there for a minute. I'm on a landline. I don't know if that was my end or your end, but
well, are we back up, Todd?
I don't know if we were down at all. Okay.
I think we're up.
Okay. Well, we'll have a private conversation. But real quick, I was about that. They wanted me to. Let me talk about HealthMaster for just a second. HealthMasters is a company that we started many, many years ago, like 35 years ago. And we basically sell pharmaceutical-grade supplements all over the world. That's what we do. We've got a great protocol there. It's called the Hagmann Blood Sugar Protocol. And it has a unique name because it's Joe's dad, Doug Hagmann, whose blood sugar was sky high. And then we have the Hodges joint formula right there, also HIP protocol. And Dave was having real bad knees. In fact, almost had a knee surgery. The other day he was telling me he was running some sprints or something, and his knee feels great. So I'm really happy that's worked out well for him. And also realize we've got a magnesium protocol because over 300 biochemical reactions occur in the body, you know, through using magnesium. It's important that you have all of these nutrients so you can stay healthy. Plus, we have the immune system protocols we talked about earlier. So go to the website, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Or you can give us a call at 1-800-726-1834. That's 800-726-1834. Or you could go, and if you're international, you want to dial us, it'll be 863-967-0244. That's 863-967-0244. But we were talking, Joe, before the power cut out on the show. I hope you guys heard me talking about this, how when you so brainwash a population into believing a lie, it's almost impossible for them to turn around and start believing the truth. And that's what happened to the Germans. And then until the Russians came in and started raping and killing the women and the children, and they didn't believe that kind of stuff could happen to Germany. Even though they'd been bombed, the actual amount of civilian death wasn't that high. There were more civilians killed in Germany 5 years after, within the 5 years after the war, than died during the war. People don't know that. Most of them from the Russians and from starvation. And so it was a horrible, horrible experience for the German people, who a lot of them had nothing to do with the rise of the Nazi Party, and they never expected Hitler to do what Hitler did. And so again, remember, the fascist model came to the United States in 1933, when Smedley Butler was basically recruited by Prescott Bush to do a coup against the United States. If you don't believe that, look it up. And Smedley Butler, who was the most decorated hero of World War I, came forward and told the truth of what was going on. This is the grandfather of George Bush Jr., or the grandfather of George Bush Sr. And so this entire fascist model, they wanted to bring it over to the United States in the 30s. And a lot of people believe through Operation Paperclip that exactly that happened, by bringing all of these Nazis into the United States. So the reality is, you know, we've got a mess over here, and our rights have been continually being eroded for the past 100 years since we brought the Federal Reserve Bank into power. Actually, you have to go back. You have to go back to Lincoln and the Civil War. And remember, my parents are from Germany, so the Civil War thing with the United States, I have no axe to grind on either side of that. Nobody was here in this country at that time. It's just that when I look at it, it was about states' rights. And I can guarantee you this, if the South had won that war, there would not be a Lincoln War Memorial in Washington, D.C. right now. Because, you know, the South was treated like a bunch of lowlife. They were just murdered and just slaughtered by Sherman when he marched to the sea. Nobody cared. Atlanta was burned and shelled, and it was all women and children, and no troops were in there. I mean, it was horrible what happened to the Southern states by the Northern states, by their brothers, by their comrades, by fellow Americans. And all because the Southern states were paying a 60 or 70% cotton tariff to the federal government, and the federal government needed the money coming in from the Southern states in order to maintain the federal bureaucracy that had already been established in Washington, D.C. at that time, and they didn't want to let the Southern states go. Lincoln already told the Southern states if they didn't leave and came back in that they would not be, he would not free the slaves. So that wasn't even an issue of the war. That was just more obfuscation from the press. They made it a slave issue, and it wasn't a slave issue. Now, 150, 60 years later, it was all about slavery, and it was not. It was about freedom of states and freedom of states' rights. What do you know about that, Joe?
Well, I know exactly what, you know, you just said. I don't know if my family has any history in the Civil War or not. I have family from Germany as well as Poland. And back to what you said about the deaths that happened around World War One, World War Two. I know there was a, I believe it was the genocide in Ukraine that happened due to 11 million people starved to death in the 1930s. But you know, here in the U.S. with the Civil War, and we can bring around this Confederate flag issue. I've always lived in northern Pennsylvania. The Confederate flag was a symbol of, you know, to me it never was a symbol of racism. And as I got older, you know, you do learn in schools through the public school system and indoctrination system that it was about the Civil War. But the more you dig into it, you realize that there was a whole lot you don't learn about what really happened in slavery. The first slave owner of the United States history was an African American. Just all these little facts that they leave out conveniently. So you never are able to connect the dots because the dots are never put in front of you. And this is another, you know, indoctrination system, much like the TV for adults. You have the school system for children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the history has been so twisted and messed up in some cases and rewritten that we'll never get to the whole truth of what happened. But I do know that Abraham Lincoln, from my own research, was a tyrant and used many executive orders and stomped on the Constitution to do a lot of what he did.
Well, if everybody wants to read any books on this, it's called, there were two books I can recommend. Is number one, The Real Lincoln, and the other one, When the South Was Right. If you read those two books, it'll forever change your opinion of what happened in the Civil War. And that's always a benchmark. I've done that many, many times when I've met people. I ask them, I say, was Abraham Lincoln a tyrant or was Abraham Lincoln a saint? I mean, what was he? And the reality is you can really figure out where a person's coming from and their knowledge of history by asking them that one question, because most of the time no one's ever asked them that. Now, but the one thing that Lincoln did do well, though, that I got to give the boy credit on, the Rothschild banking cartel was wanting the central bank back in, that Andrew Jackson had thrown out 30 years earlier, and actually, 30 years earlier, and so he refused to do it. He refused to allow that Rothschild cartel to come back in, and a lot of people say that John Wilkes Booth was an agent of the Rothschild Bank. In fact, if you read the book The Unseen Hand, that's one of the best books I ever read on. It's called The Conspiratorial View of History and What Really Happened. And he said that John Wilkes Booth was an agent of the Rothschild Bank. And I personally think that's probably true. Now, I wasn't around back then, so I can't prove any of that, but it sure sounds right. And, you know, we talked there later, you know, on Dave Hodges' show a few months ago, we were talking about how the sinking of the Titanic may have been orchestrated by the Rothschild banking cartel to get Jacob Astor off the dead, basically to kill him, because they had to make, because he was just completely in opposition to the Federal Reserve Bank coming back into the United States. And I remember a few months ago, about a month and a half ago, when I was doing my show on this same network, Joe, you remember I actually interviewed you and your dad the day after I was at Jekyll Island, and I actually interviewed Dave Hodges while I was sitting on Jekyll Island, you know, where the formation of the Federal Reserve Bank took place in 1911, and 2 years later, of course, they got it in the law. But of course, they had, you know, of course, John Jacob Astor was killed in 1912 with the sinking of the Titanic, and all of this stuff kind of starts making sense, and you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together. I mean, why were men told they couldn't get on lifeboats, and lifeboats were sent out empty? Why were men kept off the lifeboats at gunpoint? You know, why did all that stuff happen? Why could so many more people have gotten on those lifeboats with the Titanic on those super calm waters that night? The boat wouldn't have been, you know, run over by any waves. And none of that happened. And all these guys went down with the ship. And that was the first time in maritime that I know of that men were not allowed to go on the lifeboats, and it was women and children first. I mean, I don't even understand any of that, how that happened, and why the media didn't make a bigger deal about it back in 1913. But again, I'm sure the Rothschild banking cartel through J.P. Morgan was already controlling a lot of the press back then. And it's sad because we've been basically lied to so much now that the population of our United States would rather believe the lie than the truth. Remember, Jesus said, I've come into the world to bring light into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. And that's so true. That's so true with truth. When you try to tell somebody who's been lied to their whole life that what they've learned was a lie, they don't want to believe you because it messes up their normalcy bias so much, Joe, so much, Katie, that it shakes them to the very core and the foundation that they actually accept the truth. I remember my father-in-law, Sharon's dad, was a colonel in the Air Force. And one day, somebody, they were spraying chemtrails crazy. They were making like U-turns in the sky with chemtrails, right, like doing circles. And he looked up there and he said, something's not right with that, Ted. I mean, he's a pilot, right? He was a navigator in the B-52s over Vietnam, and he's like in his 80s now. And he says, something's wrong with that. Pilots don't do that. And then I start explaining to him about the chemtrails. He goes, don't tell me that's true, Ted. And I said, yeah, it's true, Stan. And then I showed him my rainwater sample showing all the barium and aluminum in my water. He goes, well, obviously that's what they're doing. They're doing some type of cloud seeding. He goes, you know, we saw that in the military way, way, way back in Vietnam. And he goes, but they're doing it over you know, public lands now, and this is not Vietnam because they shouldn't be doing that. And then he started realizing that I was telling him the truth, but it was one of those things. You could see the light start turning on and started clicking in his brain, like something's wrong here. You know, this is not my country. This is not where I was raised. And see, and that's the truth. You get these old veterans who have fought for the United States, and a lot of them, you know, they have relatives who've died for the United States. They don't want to believe that we've gone to this level of tyranny. They don't want to believe that what we have as a nation is gone. They don't want to believe that Mayberry is gone and that the Norman Rockwell America they were raised in is gone. They don't want to believe that anymore, Joe. They don't want to believe we're in the Ellen DeGeneres America now. They don't want to believe any of that. And that's sad, but that's where we are. That's where, and I said this last week on the show, on both of y'all shows. If we don't have another great awakening in the United States, if God doesn't send forth the fire of His Holy Spirit, and we don't have an outpouring of God's power and Holy Spirit, and God doesn't personally, supernaturally get involved in the United States, as far as I'm concerned, this country as we know it will no longer exist within 10 years.
No, I want to ask you, Joe. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Katie.
Falling in line with what Ted is talking about, the older generation versus the younger generation and awareness and who won't accept them. I have a 90-year-old dad who just, I can't even bring this stuff up to him. It's he won't accept it. I do gun shows in my area, and I talk to a lot of people. I was talking to a Purple Heart recipient, a Vietnam vet. And he knows everything. He knows everything that's going on. But there's nothing, there's nothing he can do about it. And I said, well, how do your peers feel and do they know? He said, yeah, we all know what's going on. But, you know, we fought our battle and there's not a lot we can do. And I also talked to young people, people who are very young, some young people that are very awake and some, Joe, you're around your age, they know something's not right. They're not listeners to alternative media, but they know instinctively that something's not right. You have friends in both circles, the alternative media, you've watched your audience grow. What about the people you know that you may know just in your community that are your age? Do you feel the same thing? Do you think they know something, but they can't put their finger on it? Are they hungry for the truth? What's the feel?
You know, around here, where I live in Erie, Pennsylvania, it's not something you notice too much. One thing that is big this year, especially here, is there's been a big increase in violent shooting crimes over the last few years, but especially this last year, gun violence is at a high here. You know, there's not... a few years back, where we live in Pennsylvania, again, this is an open carry state. You don't need a license to open carry. And every summer and sometimes around holidays, you have groups that hold open carry protests down by the courthouse. And this last year, the city council declined that a open carry meeting be allowed to take place in the park, which, you know, that's violating the gun laws that have been here and have been established for a long period of time. But, you know, beyond those small events here, you don't see too much in the way of politics in our local news. It's all fluff and tailored and designed for, I mean, we have about 110,000 population, so it's not that big. You know, we don't run into a lot of problems, especially big political problems. And it is nice. I do see a lot of young people throughout the audience, though, as our show continues to grow. A lot more young people than older people seem to be understanding and more willing to learn. And when I say willing to learn, I don't mean willing to listen to what I have to say or what other people have to say. Willing to take information that's provided to them and investigate and find the truth through their own search. Because you can't take what other people say as the truth in any situation. That's very harmful. That's how we got in this mess. This is the reason why we're in so much trouble we're in right now. This is people taking, you know, saying, oh, they would never do this, our country would never do this, or our government would never do that. Believing in the same people who are telling the lies. This is why the church has been so far backslidden and there's been a falling away from spiritual truth. It's not just, you know, events of the world. This is a full-scale attack, and it is hitting on every type of person and every class of person, if you will.
Young people are smart. There's a cynicism. They have a healthy cynicism, and they know the church has lied to them. They know the government and the media has lied to them. they're just not sure where to go to get the truth.
Katie, you just said something. I've got to interject or set a sentence in here if you don't mind. You're absolutely right. The churches no longer have any power because of the 501(c) status that they've established for themselves, and they're basically under government rule. They're a government corporation. And so the churches have lost the anointing as far as the ability to make people feel what they're supposed to feel when they go to church. And then you have the feel-good preachers who come out every Sunday and basically tell everybody that everything is great, just do what you're supposed to do and send me money and you'll be blessed. Those are the ones that really irritate everybody. And the vast majority of the people can't relate to those guys at all. And so if the church will come back out and have another great awakening and the fire of God will come back upon the churches, and I mean, just think of the power that Joel Osteen would have. And I know Joe, he's a friend of mine. I like Joe. I mean, he's a nice guy. Just think what he would do if he got in, he did a whole sermon on the abortion issue, how it would affect so many people instantaneously, because he's in all these major networks, all these major shows, and he talked about abortion, or he talked about, you know, what's going on as far as the Constitution. He just did a show like that, but they're not going to, because remember, all of these guys have built these huge networks around them. They all have huge overhead. There's a giant squirrel cage they've got to run in constantly to maintain this tens of millions of dollars, you know, monthly they have in airfare, not airtime, and what they have to pay for everything. And that's the problem. These guys are in a situation where the squirrel cage is running so fast with them in there with so many employees that they can't deviate from the plan and how the programs worked for them. Otherwise, they won't generate the revenue they have. And it's sad because I think we need to be back at home study groups and not be dealing with TV evangelists. Now, I've always said this to all my friends who are TV evangelists. I said, you know, you take all of this money from all of these people, and yet if these people are giving you all of their money and all of their tithes and all of their offerings, and then one of them dies and their husband or wife dies, are you sending somebody from your church to go bury them and preach their funeral? And they always say, of course not. And I'm like, of course not. It's ridiculous. If you're going to take somebody's money, you should bury them if they die, if you're going to be a preacher. And see, that's what people need to realize. You need to be supporting local churches and local churches that tell the truth, like Rodney Howard Brown or Chuck Baldwin or other people like that that actually tell the truth of what's going on. Or my Baptist church. We did a whole thing on what was going on with the Muslims and all the stuff with all these camps that are running around last year. We need to be promoting the truth from the churches that are willing to tell the truth and realize there's going to be blowback. I got that. But a church doesn't have to have a 501(c) corporation to be a church. I mean, Chuck Baldwin's already proven that. And so what we have to understand, too, now let's look at the old people for a second. I mean, old people, I'll be 60 in a few months, so my age and up, I guess I should say. A lot of the folks that are my age and up, they're retiring at the age of 62. And they're financially dependent on an outside income source, including a lot of the veterans who are being paid by the VA with VA benefits, or they've got pensions from the military. They don't want to rock the boat on any of that stuff. They don't want to start cutting their own benefits out, because people, when you start giving them money for food, you start giving them money for medicine, you start giving them money for health care, you start giving them money to live on and pay the rent, they don't want to mess that up. So they don't want to go in and start telling you, the government, hey, you need to stop doing this or stop doing that, because they don't want to be singled out, or they don't want to lose their veterans' benefits. And that's one of the things that the older folks have learned, is just to shut up and not rock the boat and not get involved politically in most cases, unless it's going to directly affect Social Security benefits. See, that's what's so crazy about all of this, because when they started giving them money away, when they started giving money away for free, you know, back in the 30s with the Social Security thing they did for the older folks, it developed an entire nation of cripples when they get over the age of 60. So it's taking that entire voice out. If we were still supporting our parents and we were still having to pay the bills for our parents, or our parents had to save their own money and we were all working together and we had multi-generation families living in the same household because they didn't have Social Security, everybody would be a lot more willing to go out and say stuff. But all of this is part of that social change project they started, because when you give people money, they shut up and they don't say anything back. And if you're giving them food and money and housing and a cell phone and free Obamacare, ha-ha, then they're not going to say anything. I mean, what do you guys think about that? Don't you think that's how they program the older people not to say anything?
Absolutely. And you said so much of it. It was so right on the money. People do, you know, would rather take the convenience. You know, we talked about complacency. People would rather take the convenience of that money that's already coming in rather than have to worry about, even if they're able to work, how they're going to bother working, you know, to put food on their table. I mean, look at the unemployment numbers. You have a record 93-plus million Americans who are not working and not looking for work. You have just as many illegals in the country, they say, but you have a 5.3, you know, jobless rate.
makes no sense whatsoever. But people don't can't even look past that. I mean, when you get somebody to look at a truth, like you said, Ted, that you picked the Civil War and you know, ask people to read a few books on what example of a president was Lincoln. Was he a tyrant or was he, you know, a saint? And this is what people have to do. They have to start with one point, one area, one issue that's near and dear to them, and find out for themselves, you know, what's going on, what is the truth of this matter. And they, I mean, I don't know what is, it has to be, like I said earlier, a spiritual hindrance that is blocking the truth from being received, because there is a gap there, a border there, that is not being breached with so many people where it should be, where it smacks them right in the face.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. In fact, it's almost like that. Well, Jesus said the eyes of the unbeliever, like their eyes have been blinded. They you know, they see but they don't perceive. They hear but they do not hear. And you know, then he said they will turn and hear and see that he will heal them and heal their land. See, they don't want to see the truth. They'd rather see Cecil the Lion. They don't want to believe that human beings are being sold in a butcher shop. They don't want to believe that. The butcher shop that is Planned Parenthood. They don't want to believe that. They don't want to believe any of this stuff. And then what happens is, you put them on fluoride back in 1946. You start dumbing them down. Then you put them on statin drugs. Then you put them on BPA. And you put them on Prozac. And you put them on Zoloft. And you put them on tricyclics. And you put them on, you know, serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And you start doing all this stuff to them. You start putting them on statin things, which dumb them down like crazy. And now all of a sudden you got this generation of people over the age of 60 that are taking 5 or more prescription drugs a day. I think it's 37% of the people over the age of 60 take 5 or more prescription drugs a day. Well, I'm 60, but I don't take any drugs. I take a bunch of vitamins every day. I do that. You know, I take a bunch of essential oils every day. Katie, we'll talk about that with you in the next break, next section. I take those every single day, and I keep my mental acuity up really, really high, and I feel great all of the time. But see, I'm an exception being 60 years old and actually having a brain that still works. Vast majority of the people that I know that are my age, their memories are gone, their energy's gone, they don't work out at all, and basically they sit around the house or they're waiting to retire, and they're absolutely non-productive. See, that was intentional. All of this is intentional. Now, the GMO food, that's intentional to change the epigenetics of this generation so they can't have children. They're going to be sterile and infertile. That's all about the globalists doing this.
You know what I wanted to do? We're running out of time. I wanted to give Joe an opportunity to talk a little bit about his show. I think we have about a minute left.
Oh, you're right. Joe, we got 3 minutes left. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, talk. And I just want to say real quick, I love your dad. I love you. You guys have a ministry. Your show is a ministry. Tell us a little bit about your show for anybody who isn't aware, which I'm sure there's not many, but for the listeners who aren't aware of your show, tell us a little bit about your show when it's on.
All right. Thanks, Katie, and thanks, Ted. It was a pleasure
Music
being
Star.
On Dave Hodges' show with both of you guys. Our show's on from 8 to 11, Monday through Friday, p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 8 to 11 Eastern Standard Time. And what it is I'm the son. My dad's Doug Hagman. He's the father. We're a father and son radio show team. We've been doing this about 5 years now, and we were private investigators doing insurance fraud investigations for myself about 10 years before that, and my dad about 30 years worth. You know, he's the real detective. You know, I did learn from the best also. And what we do is we talk about current events from a biblical perspective and get into a lot of these issues with tremendous guests such as Katie and Ted. And, you know, we have Steve Quayle on a lot. Dave Hodges comes on a lot. It's good to have the nice circle of friends we have and the guests that we have on. It's a real blessing.
Thank
and as I said
so
earlier,
much.
We're growing, and
thank
it keeps getting
on.
Better. And thank you guys.
Thank you,
Joe,
so
thanks
much
for being on with tonight.
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds. Joe, thank you. Say hi to your dad. We love your show. It's on Blog Talk Radio. Is that correct?
Yeah, Blog Talk Radio. You can go to HagmanandHagman.com and find it there also. Thank you. God bless you, Ted, and God bless you, Katie. You guys have a great night. And thanks, Dave Hodges.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me on. And also, next week, Dave wanted me to tell everybody that Steve Quayle will be back on again next Sunday night and wanted me to promote that. So we'll have Steve Quayle back on next Sunday night. And, of course, hopefully I'll be back on again in a few weeks with you guys. So we have one more hour, so we have Katie to go. Then we have another Joe coming on at the bottom of the hour. So we're going to have some fun in the next hour, too. So you guys stay tuned.
Call 800-518-7615 or head to alkavision.com.